Master Buddy joining you live tonight, right here, live on a Monday evening, and we hope and trust that you've had a wonderful day. Many blessings to you around the radio network. Got a great program. We're going into part 8 of the Holy Grail. We're talking about the distinctive and the most righteous, the most holy bloodline in the earth. Now, we do know that Satan has got a bloodline. We've established that fact. I don't think it can be denied. Satan's got a seed. It's called the tare of Matthew chapter 13. And then Yahweh labored. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a labor of love just for him to come down here in a flesh body. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, who are you talking about came down here? The same one that spoke in the beginning and said, let there be light. This is the entrance, the grand entrance to Revelation. I am the light of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm really going to surprise you with this statement tonight. Now, he is not the light of the world. He was at the time he came. He was in the very beginning. The time that he came and the time that he has worked this plan of salvation, this wonderful, magnanimous, magnificent plan of salvation, he's worked it out. And the Bible says for you to work out, be sure you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. We want you to know that if you know the truth, if you know that Yahweh dwells in the heavens, he's first got to dwell in your heart. You couldn't know that without knowing that he dwells in your heart. Now, when I say he dwells in your heart is in it, basically. Your heart is your blood. The very blood that you have, genetics, is very important for you tonight. And you say, well, I don't know why. Well, because the Bible, throughout its history, if you go back and do a thorough search like we've done, and the battles of the royal dragon and the royal king, the royal priesthood, in other words, that's where we're from. We're not from the reptilian dragon blood. And ladies and gentlemen, I cannot emphasize tonight strong enough that the dragon, the royal dragon, the reptilian, has got a bloodline, and so has his other angels who came in here, evidenced by Genesis chapter 6, and produced what is called the Nephilim. Now, these were giants. The book of Enoch describes these beings at this time as, oh man, as 36 feet tall. Yeah, it really does. I know that's going to warp your, you say, oh, that has to be an exaggeration. But remember now that when the canopy was over the earth before the flood, there was a perfect, if you will, a perfect place without any gravity, without any pull, or without any restrictions. Everything was, even the grapes that grew in the land of milk and honey. It took two men with a stick, a pole, if you will, to take off one pod of grapes and carry it on their shoulders. Two men. Now that's unheard of. Today, a little pod of grapes, you could carry 50 in your hand if you could get your hands around them, and still you wouldn't be weighted down. It took two men to carry. So you can see that the gravity, when the canopy was ripped and the earth was flooded, the vacuum ceased, the seal of the earth that was sealed for man's sake so that he could live for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and millions of years, if I want to exaggerate here. because Adam came in here with eternal life. He had his purpose was to live forever. And what we're talking about tonight is very, very important to get you to see that somebody robbed us. Somebody come in and stole our birthright, stole our genetics, mixed them and polluted them, and limited our everything. Every time you see somebody run to the hospital, every time you hear a siren, every time you hear a break-in, every time you hear a murder, it's because the serpent, the reptilian royal blood of the snake, and his cohorts, the fallen angels, they came in here and they actually polluted and tried their best to destroy this holy bloodline. Now, I'm going to come back and just, this is just a little bit of the review that I did in part four of this series, and it's a scripture I quoted, and I'd like to re-quote it tonight as we start our search for the genetic bloodline of the master race. Now, I'm going to repeat that. We're going to search for the genetic bloodline of the master race. Now, you could be, it could possibly be, that if you were chosen from the foundation of the world, and that you had your name on the Lamb's book, I don't care how many times you go to the altar. I don't care how many times you pray. If you've got the seed of an Esau, or the seed of a king, or if you've not been chosen, you can go and you pray till your lips turn blue and quivering. You can speak in every language in the earth. You can speak in tongues of angels. And if you ain't got this charitable grace that came before the foundation of the world, with your name on the Lamb's book, you're none of his. Now, I'm going to repeat that. If the gospel is hid, I'll be blunt. If the gospel is hid from you, you can't see it, you can't grasp it, you can't understand it, you can't get these deep mysteries solved. The Bible said the spirit being searches the deep things of Yahweh. And now let me repeat that. I'm going to repeat that just for your information, devil. You know, these people that open up these church houses and they, you know, they believe that they are doing, they're religious. And the world is full of religious lost people. I'm going to repeat that for the devil. The world is full of religiously lost, hopeless, no hope people who are trying to work their way in. They're trying to do something. Well, you know, I don't kill, I don't steal, and I don't do all these things. Well, Satan has got a people in the earth. Now, let me repeat this. Satan has got a people in the earth that have transformed themselves into righteous people. The whole church world lays in deceit, and Satan, the reptilian bloodline, his sheep will hear his voice. Now, his sheep is in wolves' clothing. However, they've got sheep's clothing on the outside. They look like sheep. And so Satan's tried to imitate, but he has to dress up. He has to use some kind of an artificial, something that's not real, something that's not biblical, to fool you, to deceive you, to pull the wool over the eyes of them that sees them. Oh, they appear righteous. Oh, they speak great swelling words like the Pharisees, who are going to visit here after a while in the New Testament. And they have men's admiration. Oh, our church is the biggest church in Dallas, Texas. Oh, we got the biggest Baptist church in Philadelphia. We got the biggest Pentecostal. Oh, man, we shout and we speak in tongues. The Bible said you can speak with tongues of men and angels. And if you don't got this charity of truth, truth is something, ladies and gentlemen, that's more precious than diamonds. It is more precious than gold. It is more precious than anything that you could separated, you should walk worthy of that calling. You should walk worthy of that separation. You should be willing to be hated and despised for his name's sake. And if you've got the right bloodline, if you are a sheep and not a goat, my sheep, he said, will hear my word, because they have somewhere in the past, they have been with me, they have heard my voice, and they understand my plan. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a perfect understanding and how from a child. So if you're Yahweh's sheep, you might have not have had it all together. They might have been a missing link, because there is such a thing as Yahweh said, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except it be sent, not called, because many are called. Now, I'm gonna put this before you. See, sin is before called. And now, when these people come in, you know them by their fruits. The Bible says to examine every spirit and try every spirit, and you'll know. You see, I went through the Baptist experiments. I don't have anything against Baptist people. There's a lot of good ones. My family, 99% of my family is Baptist persuasion. Now, I finally got over to the Pentecostal church, and I thought I'd hit on the right key, man. I mean, I would preach, I would evangelize, I'd go save anything that you could, determine that was worth saving, and I'd take them to the altar, and bless God, I would see that they'd spoke in other tongues. And just as soon as you'd see that they were stammering lips, you know, you can pray and believe something so strong, it'll come into your mind, and the mind is the most powerful muscle you've got in your body. And if you will exercise it enough, you can believe a lie and be damned. Just because that you have spoken some kind of a language, whether it be heavenly or whether it be earthly, whether it be a different language of what you're raised up in, say English and you spoke in German. Oh, I've seen that trick. The devil is so full of deceit. That is not how you measure somebody's got the Holy Ghost. I'm going to repeat this. Just because somebody speaks in another language, and you would probably determine it to be a miracle, That is not the measuring stick of who's got the Holy Ghost. Now, who's got the Holy Ghost, Pastor Buddy? Those that rejoice in the truth. Now, I'm going to repeat that and back it up. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, we've cheapened truth down to the point that everybody said, well, I don't steal one. And I'm a good person. I go to church, and that makes me in the truth. No, it don't. The truth is a hard saying. The truth will separate you from everything, including your own self. You must deny yourself. If you think that you have eternal life when you ain't got none, you're deceived. If you think that you pass from death unto life because you love your family, you got another trick coming. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I know that I love God. Because, you know, just as soon as I got saved, I went out and loved everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not to love everybody. I'm going to repeat this. Well, you say, the Bible says, you know, Jesus said to love your enemies. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and without an interpretation here. And let's just say that you take that. Love your enemy. Have you ever heard of anybody in the right mind say, I love the devil? Boy, oh God. He's such a wonderful person. I love him. I'm so proud of him. I wish there was more of him. Well, you know better than that. Now, the Messiah was not telling you to love the world and to love the devil and to love the seed of Cain, or to love the seed of Esau, the Edomites, or to love anything that is not fully persuaded in the truth. You are charged with a responsibility first to repent. The next responsibility is to figure out what his name is. Indian skeleton for a backbone. They get down and wither and crawl. I've been some of these Holy Ghost meetings that people just wither and ring like a snake. Foam at the mouth and slobber. Everybody says, it's the Holy Ghost, glory to God. I've seen people lay on the floor and just take laughing fits, uncontrollable. So, oh God, we're having a good time here tonight. Yahweh's not a good time. Yahweh's a hard saying. And the world will hate you, and he didn't say for you to love everybody. When he said love your enemies, he was talking to the people of Israel, his children, to love one another and to love those of your own household will be your enemies. Now, that's a difference. Now, the household of who? The household of Eugene Johnson or the household of Frank Smith? No. The household of the kingdom of heaven. I've got brothers tonight that are in different states that I love more than I love my flesh brothers or sisters. You say, well, God, I couldn't say that at all. Well, I can say it without any reservation and mean every word of it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If it's just a flesh experience, if you're running around goody-two-shoes, and you don't steal and you don't drink, your children graduated from the finest college, the Bible college, and they made preachers and prophetess and all that stuff, that sounds good, looks good to the world. If you're afflicted, if you're hated, if you're despised, if you're cast down, if you're forsaken tonight, you're in the elite group of those that love the truth. And you've got probably the proper blood credentials because he said, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except they be sent? For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Ladies and gentlemen, this word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts and divides even to the asunder, right down to the joint and the marrow of the bone, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Well, when you run upon a Holy Ghost preacher and you can't put a sandy on him, you can't take him down to the altar and save him, and you can't refine him, you can't send him to a cemetery building and learn him how to preach. Boy, the God, and he's trying to impress people with a big crowd, and he joins the biggest church and he makes a big salary. You go to hell, devil, and take all of your riches and your wealth and your power and your prestige and deceive as many as you would like, because if the gospel is hid, it's hid to those genetic reptilians and them that would believe his lie and follow after him. Now, what about Isaiah? I feel the preacher man here tonight, and I got to get back on the theme of my message, the genetics and the Holy Grail. Now, we got in here to the fourth chapter of Ruth, and we're going to go right back there just in a moment, but I want to read you again, as I said, chapter 11, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod. Hear the rod, and who's appointed him? Every male has a rod, if he's worth his salt. And out of the stem of Jesse, now you know what that was. The stem of Jesse was his genetic bloodline. Now I'm going to repeat this. Out of the stem of Jesse shall grow a branch out of the root of Jesse. Now I'm going to come back and visit for your benefit. I'm coming back, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to read again for the rehearsing of setting this up for you, and I want you to turn there to 1 Samuel 17 and verse 1. Now, David, now there shall come a root or a seed or a branch out of the root of Jesse. Now, we've done to establish the fact that through the lineage, we're going over there to establish it just in a moment. I'm setting you some groundwork in Gestalt here to lay your foundation of faith, of genetics, pure bloodline. Yahweh himself would never, never be born of a defiled reptilian, not one smithering, not one ounce, not one drop, not one, oh man, I don't know how I could refine it down to less than a drop. He's not got one. He's pure. And he advised you to stay pure. And he talked about fornication and adulteration of the blood. Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen these Aryan white people mix with all of these mixtures out here and join themselves to foreign blood. There's nothing wrong with these foreign people. Yahweh made their bloodlines, if they're original. Most, it's getting now to where they ain't no originality nowhere. The black race would be far better off if they hadn't failed for the serpent's lie. And encouraged. It looks like these males get an ego trip, and it just makes them look so good to walk down the street with a white woman. And the white women get such an egotistical trip because everybody stares at them, and they think that if they're good looking, they think it's because I'm good looking. It's because you're stupid. When I look at you, it's in disgust. When I look at you, it pains my heart. Just like it pained Noah. Now, there's nothing wrong with the black race. There's nothing wrong with the yellow race. They're kind after kind, and Yahweh made them and saw it was good. But he told his people, and he also told them, for their sake, not to adulterate their bloods, because what you do, you create confusion. And this is in Leviticus, in the laws of sexual sins and perversions, that any woman that laid with a beast of the field to mingle her blood, both of them should be killed immediately. That's to keep from the child being confused. The offspring of that relationship would be confused. Now, if you think that Yahweh didn't instruct his people to take this genetic message that I'm preaching here in the last couple of weeks, if you think that he didn't take it serious, you need to read the 25th chapter of the book of Numbers, and you need to take a look at what Phinehas did to the race mixing people of Israel. He killed his Israelite brother. He was a preacher. And more unto the preachers that failed to bring blood. You saying, well, are you advocating killing somebody because they went over to an... No, you see, we don't have the right to do that. Right now, I don't have the right. I can warn you against it. I can keep myself pure like Lot that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what that town was full of? Ladies and gentlemen, it's just because the town was full and not every one of them had gone over. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to repeat this. The whole city had gone over to strange flesh, except Lot and his two virgin daughters. That's the only three that was worthy. Yahweh told Abraham, if they five righteous people down in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, I will defer the destruction. Now, when the angels went down there, they went to one house and one house only. Just like Noah and his house was the only righteous genetic people lived upon the planet of that particular race. Now, if that was a black race, then that Noah, if he was black, he was the only black man with his two sons left on the planet. Ain't one but three black men, if he was black now, on the planet. But the problem, and if he was yellow, if he was oriental, you say, oh, everybody come from Adam, Pastor Buddy, you know that. It was a single seed line back there. You lying dog. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You're just asking for trouble in your heart, stirring up wrath in your soul, and you're going to be called on the carpet, and you're going to have to bow your knee, and you're going to have to confess to Yahweh that you are a son of a devil and that you are not fit to enter the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you why. It would have been impossible that he was a black man. Or in other words, we could say he was a yellow man. Either one of those, white, black, or yellow. It would have been impossible for him to have, if he was black, to have a yellow son and a white son. Impossible. Genetically impossible. It don't happen, ladies and gentlemen. It didn't happen back then. It ain't happening now, and it never will. Kind after kind is the word of God. Now, let's say that Noah was a yellow man. It would have been impossible for him to have a black child. It would have been impossible for him to have a white child. Two Orientals cannot have a black child or a white child. Two black man and woman cannot have a white child or a yellow child. Unless it's a telegamy, a seed been sown in that tainted womb, like I preached this out, and this is why I'm preaching genetics, that you keep yourself pure, and if you haven't gone out and mixed your blood, please don't. If you do, ruin to you. For sin lays at your door, just like Cain. You know what he done? He followed the example of his father. You know his father was, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, your father is the devil, and the works of your father he will do. Yahweh was talking to some seed here. You think those Pharisees and Canaanites weren't burning up under the collar? Don't you think he made them mad as hell? Don't you think that they practiced witchcraft and sorcery and murder right in their heart because that blood was boiling, because he's telling the truth? You hate me, he said, because I tell you the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, you can rest assured tonight that the reptilian race, although it might look white, it might look black, it might look yellow, if the seed of Cain or the blood of Cain is in that body, it's defiled it. I don't care what color it is. Because you've mixed yourself and made yourself two or more the child of hell than you were to begin with. The book of Numbers, chapter 25, to be explicit and to tell you right now that you need to take a look at it, and you need to read it, and you need to believe it, and you need to latch on to the truth. And I told you that just being righteous ain't going to get you there. We have all kinds of denominational people in our church, Pastor, but we are non-denominational, and we don't mind if a black man and a white woman, or a white woman and a black man, or a yellow man and a white woman, or a black woman, or whatever. You see, ladies and gentlemen, how they cheapened the word of Yahweh and seem right? We got churches all over the land that practice a 501(c)(3) standard, and if you exempt yourself, you've got to sign the 501(c) tax exempt status that you would hearken unto what I just said there, that you'd violate the Bible to do so. I'm going to repeat that for you lying devils that ever dreamed up this contract that you could defy Yahweh and defy the word kind after kind and go mix your blood and defile and to muddy the genetics of Yahweh, whether it be white, black, or yellow, both of them pure by themselves and good. But once they've been muddled together or mixed together, you violated Yahweh and you've caused the mixture of something he never created and never meant to create. But as soon as you cross the blood, you'll bring forth a hybrid. You don't bring forth the original. And you went from good to bad to worse. I'm going to repeat that. You went from good original to bad when you mixed your blood to a hybrid offspring. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will get you thrown out of the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, he can be saved, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. That's what the church told me. Glory to God. Shouldn't I? Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Well, you feel the Holy Ghost. It ain't holy. It's a ghost, but it's not holy. It's a lie, but it's not holy. It ain't the truth. Because you don't want the truth. But you compromising and making it lukewarm, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get a bad taste in the king's mouth. And he's going to call for a sword when he comes. And he's going to say, bring a God of love. Hallelujah, Shanda. Well, all right. Man, I don't even know why I'm preaching tonight. I'm supposed to be teaching on the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth, but I'll get there. Don't you worry about it, because I'm fixing to go from Numbers chapter 25 back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you will. Flip back to Deuteronomy 7, read the first 7 verses in Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 7, and then call me up tonight after the broadcast and see if Yahweh is going to let all this mess that was created back there in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He opened the earth and swallowed up these idiots. He killed them. Venus killed these people, and Yahweh commanded every Israelite that had not crossed the blood. He said, go out and get your sword and kill everything that won't leave this land. Cleanse it from border to border. And that's exactly what they've done. Well, let's go over to the book of Azariah. And we're going to go over there to Azariah chapter 9. And we're going to read 9:10. And oh my heaven, no money, it just gets worse and worse here. Even the preachers got in on the act like they are today. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have a hard saying. And it's time for you to come out of the 501(c) crowd, separate yourself if they allow that. If you're going somewhere that's allowed, you need to shake the dust of your feet in disgust and come out of her and separate yourself and show Yahweh whose side you're really on. You're compromising, you're full of a devil, and you are a hypocrite, and Yahweh's truth ain't in you. Well, Pastor Betty, if I took your advice, I really don't agree with it, but my wife, you know, she goes over there, and she likes it over there, and she loves the singing, and she loves the shouting, and all those things there, and, you know, if we come to your church, you just got one of them doctrines that we just can't get along with, and she won't come over there to your church, Lord. And I don't have a church. I am the church. I am the ecclesia. And I am called out of such mess, such religious mess that was going on in Numbers 25, Deuteronomy 7, Ezra chapter 9, and Nehemiah chapter 13, just the starters. Then I could jump over in the book of I wouldn't want to go over to Sweet Jesus' book and quote a little bit out of Jesus' book, would I? Well, I wonder why I'm over here in Matthew chapter 13 taking a look. I find by the very parable that there was somebody went forth to sow a seed. That means that the seed was a sperm, if you will. And it had to be ejaculated into a woman's womb. The sower is the male, ladies and gentlemen. Fret not. A female can't go and sow nothing. You say, well, Pastor Manny, now don't get on to my lifestyle. You're meddling. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Word of God meddles into your affairs and it condemns you, you better change your wicked way. You better repent like Yahweh told all of those back in Numbers 25, Deuteronomy 7, Ezra 9, and Nehemiah 13, and Matthew chapter 23. You better change your wicked ways. You better come out of her as the ecclesia. You are the body of Christ, and the body of Christ should not, will not, cannot be joined to a harlot. And that's as plain as I can make it, ladies and gentlemen. You need to come out of her, my people. There's going to come something out of Jesse's stem here, and whatever this bloodline was, and I want to emphasize it, I want to drive it home. And I want to prove once and for all, if we have a Bible debate, and I'd love to get in one tonight, I just feel the preacher man in me, but I would love to take this verse by verse and scripture by scripture and prove to you that the Messiah came from a bloodline that nothing is talked about in the Bible or in the churches concerning the Bible. They will not bring this truth that I'm bringing to you because they're goody-two-shoes. Oh, yeah, they're lukewarm. Oh, I just don't want to hear no argument tonight.
my spirit just can't take it. Hallelujah. I just come here to dance.
Bless God, this gospel will cut your dancing out. If you don't believe it, just ask Aaron. That smitten prophet's trying to please the people. When the cat's away, the mice will play. Oh, Moses went away for a while. Here come the murmuring people.
Oh, I don't know what happened to Moses. And you know it's the age of the bull. And remember when we were down in among the Egyptians and how they worshipped the bull age and make us a bull. Make us a golden bull here.
He said a calf, but did you know it wasn't a heifer? It was a bull. That depicted the ability to sow seed. Out of the stem of Jesse shall come the bull. Hallelujah. Out of the stem of Jesse shall come a seed. And Jesse was the father of David. Well, it just so happens to be here in 1 Samuel 17:12. Now, David was the son of an Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judea, whose name was Jesse. There he is. Jesse had a stem. Jesse had a rod. Jesse had a root. And out of that came David. David in the Hebrew. Out of that came David. And if Jesse was an Ephraimite, what in the world are you saying that David was a Jew, you lying scoundrel? You deceived, perverted of the gospel. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you shouldn't get so upset about it. I'm not upset. I'm just preaching you a hard saying and to wake you up, to smack you up the side of the head with a Holy Ghost 2x4, to get your attention, to knock some Holy Ghost sense into your perverted brain, that because you haven't done your homework, you probably have never read 1 Samuel 17:12. You probably did. If you did, you'd probably read right over and say, now, David was the son. I watch these preachers get on the video, and they'll just take it verse by verse. We go chapter by chapter. We don't miss anything. We cover it all. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is asinine. Going in a Bible and trying to read it like it was put into a chapter verse. Did you know? You know, everybody, before they set chapters and numbered them, you know who done that? It wasn't Yahweh. When they compiled these scriptures, they was not verses. There was no numbers. These were just letters. And man has broke it down to his understanding and put it in books and place. That ain't the way you read the Bible. You get in there and you take a doctrine like I have on the holy bloodline. And you go to the scriptures that depicts blood. And there you will capture two bloodlines, one good and one bad. You'll capture two seeds, one good and one bad. And if you don't know who you're serving, you could be hoodwinked by the hoodwinker. Eve was. And many others since then have been hoodwinked. These perverted preachers out here in these churches, they become whores. They've been cast into the bed with the adulteress and the adulterers. They've committed spiritual fornication on the Holy Ghost. They've lied when they should tell the truth because the truth is a hard saying. I'm hated in every church. I ain't accepted in any church I've ever been in. I've always been the Lone Ranger. But I ain't got that six-pointed star, honey. I've got the morning star. I've got the truth. I've got the root of David. You know who the root of David was? You say, well, it says right there, and you just read it there in 11:1. Before Jesse was, I am. Say what? Before Jesse was, I am. Before Boaz and you say that you're before Abraham? Boy, they got a big charge out at you. I can just see them slapping their legs, hitting one another on the back and high-fiving and said, we know he's nuts. He ain't even 50 years old, and he's standing here and saying that he's older than Abraham. Oh, this is the root of David. This is the root of Jesse. This is the root of Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, and Adam. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the one that brought the bloodline. This is the one that I claim to be the King of Kings and the master of the universe. This is not the serpent. This is not the mixture. This is not the one that will encourage you to break Yahweh's laws. And it's okay. We're not under that law anymore. Get away from that old crazy preacher. Glory to God. Come over to our church where we've got everybody in a church. And we've got a missionary foreign mission field. We go over there and we save them in 10 buck two. We save them over in wherever. Lord, God, I know you do, but you make them too formal than the child of hell than they were to begin with. And if you ain't got this truth, if you ain't got the separator, if you ain't got the stand away or the called out ones, if you ain't got that spirit that you are man enough or woman enough to stand the heat, then you're going to join them and get back in the kitchen of the devil, and he's going to stir you up on the biggest message. You're going to have to be perverted. You're going to have to go against your conscience. I can see people in there, and I'll stand up and tell them that it's wrong. And I'll see heads going up and down agreeing, but the preachers will get up and the deacon board, and they'll say, oh, man, you know what? Our creed and our platform don't call for what this preacher said here tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We can't have that here in our church. Lord our God, we'd lose our license, and we ain't going to have that tonight because this is a money-making experience, Lord our God, and we're going to keep it. For well, fill up your measure, you hypocrites. You know what? They hated the disciples of Yahweh. They hated Yahweh. They hated Isaac. They hated Abraham. They hated Jacob. They had to go to the strange country. They had to separate themselves and come out from among the world, even in those days. And here it is. And David was the son of an Ephraimite. His name was Jesse. He had 8 sons. It wasn't 1, it wasn't 2, it wasn't 3, it wasn't 4, it wasn't 5, it wasn't 6, and it wasn't 7. It was a new beginning, ladies and gentlemen. The royal seed line had popped out in number 8. That was David. Yahweh said, I have found David a man after my own heart. You know why? Because he was after his blood. I am the root of David. You thought it was Jesse. Jesse himself was on the same route. Now, if Jesse was an Ephraimite, David was an Ephraimite, wonder what bloodline the Messiah was. Didn't he say without any reservation, the firstborn that separates from the womb is mine? M-I-N-E. I claim it. You say, well, that's right, that's right. Reuben was the firstborn. He defied. Yahweh had the proxy. Yahweh had the right to reject him. And he kicked him to the curb. You're going to be kicked to the curb if you don't believe the truth, and you ain't going to get off the curb, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, I'll get out in the rapture. Glory to God. I just can't wait to get out here hearing you preach. Well, I got news for you. It's the wicked that's going to be raptured out. I'm glad you're going. Bonvage. Bonvage. Have a nice trip. Glad to see you go. It is the righteous that will inherit the earth. And if you don't have a righteous seed and a righteous blood and a righteous doctrine and a righteous faith and a righteous baptism in the name of Yahweh, you ain't going nowhere but straight to hell. With all nations forget Yahweh. I'm going to tell you something, Lady Jim. You want the truth? You really want the truth? Then you're going to have to be man enough to step up and put your chest out and lift your head to the King of Kings and raise one finger and point toward heaven and say, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. If mama don't go, it won't hinder me. If daddy won't go, it won't hinder me. If uncle ain't, sister, brother, or the devil himself. You know, you can fall in love with the devil. You say, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Well, Judah did. The one that you claim was God's chosen birthright son. Let me tell you something about the heir of Mr. Judah, who you claim to be Jewish. He fell in love with a Canaanite. He mixed his blood and lost his birthright. For the birthright went to the eldest son, which was Ushila, the Canaanite, Israelite, blood mixture. And that's the one that Christ was saying, your father's the devil. He knew it. He told them in John 8:44. And ladies and gentlemen, here we are finding out that David, Strong's number 6, 6, 9, 70, 71, and 72 of the Strong's Concordance, a descendant and offspring of Joseph Ephraim. Oh, my heavens. Yahweh, it's a straight way. And Yahweh, it is a way that shall be hated. You know, I didn't choose this way. I didn't choose it because that I'm hated. I didn't want to be hated. I want to be loved. When I was a Baptist preacher, man, they really loved me. When I was a Pentecostal, tongue-talking, devil-chasing, one God, apostolic, Holy Ghost fire preacher. Oh, my. How the people love me. Man, they'd shout and fall in the aisles. I'd lay hands on them and they'd shake and roll. Lady Jim, you can shake and roll till the kingdom comes, but if you ain't got the truth, your shaking will quit, just like it was up on the mountain when Aaron, when he made him a golden bull, and he said, you all get around here now, let's get down. We're going to have a time because the preacher man's out of town. And the cat's away, and us mice are going to play. And boy, they got the bongo drums, and they started jungle hopping, praise Yahweh. Holy Ghost shimmying and shaking and carrying on. Uh-oh. Who's that coming off the mountain? Look up yonder. Who is that? Who's coming out of that foggy mountain up there? Why, he's been gone for 40 days. What's that light on top of his head? Well, that's not a light on top of his head. That is his head. Whew. Man, oh man. He was a shining light. Bless God, he had more than the shake, shimmy, and roll. He had more than falling in the floor and wallering like an idiot. Although I ain't got anything against somebody gets happy and wants to run and shout. If that turns you on, get with it. But when you get up and stand up and hear the truth, act like a man or a woman. And say, they'll smite their bread. I know what I've got. I'll go over to God. I've got the Holy Ghost in here. Well, say, what are you fighting Yahweh for? Why are you fighting baptism in Yahweh? Now, you got the Holy Ghost? That's what they told him. We've got God. We don't know who you are. You've got a devil because you're so strict. You've got a devil because you've got a strange doctrine. I preach myself out of time. No world goes with time when you're having a marvelous experience in the Holy Ghost. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to close, and it's not my liking, but I've got to. Although I hate to, and I didn't even open up the Book of Ruth where I meant to go about genetics, and you'll just have to forgive me to not getting over there, but I hope that I've clarified and made myself and established the thought that it's the righteous genetics of Yahweh. Yahweh that's going to overcome. If you don't have him from the foundation of the world, if you want his sons and daughters that was born into flesh bodies, if that spirit is not Yahweh's, you're none of his. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how you quiver your voice and sing. I don't care how you play on an instrument. I don't care how you preach in a pulpit and shout and run and shake and shimmy. I don't care what all you do to impress the people of the world. You ain't impressing Yahweh because he knows that you're none of his. You say, but I'm so good looking. That's what Satan thought. There's nobody like me. Nobody can preach like I can. I've had to apologize for the way I preach to you. I'm crude in speech. But you can say one thing. If you was to see my eyes and the fire that's coming from them, the Holy Ghost truth that I feel burning in my bones like Jeremiah, who was prisoned and dug a hole for and was mistreated and cast off and forsaken. But Yahweh said, I called you, O Jeremiah. I called you before you ever come into your mother's womb to be one of my prophets that's going to be hated, despised, and rejected and cast out just like I was. I ain't no different. And I don't preach this way just to be hated. I don't enjoy it. I just preach because when I get started, I can't quit. I can't help myself for preaching the word of Yahweh. And the Bible says, woe is me if I fail to preach the Bible. Woe is me if I fail to preach it. And I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary, one of my great friends, Brother Paul, and all the people that love Pastor Buddy and send me tithes and offerings. I love you. I hope and trust that if you're hated like I am, this message, you can identify, and I know you do. If you're Yahweh's, I know. 1-877-289-7439. Brother Paul for STEM Tech, 1-800-253-2748. He's got a beautiful thing. He sent me in a letter about the great name. I'm waiting. He didn't want me to say anything about it, but I'm going to paint it. If you'd like to see a picture of it, I could probably send you one if you'll permit me. But he's working on that. Call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. I'll be glad to take your call and talk with you live on a Monday night here on WWRB 3.185 around the world on the Clear Channel and the transmitted jewels, also simulcast on the internet. You can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. You say, Pastor, but I've never heard a preacher like you. I'm afraid to write you. You're so hated. I just don't want to know where I want to become acquainted to. You expect so much, and I've got a wife that she wouldn't change. Better go to hell. Well, I've got a husband, and I know he ain't gonna have this. Better go to hell. Praise Yahweh. You know why? Everything that ain't like him's going anyway. Why do you want to go with them? If I catch you eating and drinking with these wicked and these that won't come out and these that won't serve me, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And I feel the preacher tonight. Many blessings to you. And you know what? I'll have to say this with all of my heart. I love you. And I want you to know that Yahweh loves you. He holds out his hand all day long to a district, obey him and disobedient. These are the hard, stiff-necked people. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. If I haven't preached you the truth, then I haven't quoted the scripture. If I quoted the scripture and you can find it in there, you better bow your knee. You better confess. You better look for the author and for the finisher. I'll see you tomorrow night at 11 around the world at Eastern Standard Time tomorrow night. I'll see you. Yahweh bless you is my hope.